Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading. And we'll find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Second Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. He walked also after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, the king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians smote Joram. And he returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel because he was sick. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. And he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him, because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king of Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have all of this sin in former generations now coming to its fruition. We see several parallels with even things that good King Jehoshaphat did that were not so good. We still call him good King Jehoshaphat, although there were some weaknesses in him. And so some of these sins that Jehoshaphat was involved in are coming home here to roost. First of all, we note that as Jehoram killed all of his brothers, so also the Lord brings the same judgment upon all of his seed by the hand of the Arabians. Isn't that interesting? So as he killed all of his father's sons, the Lord killed all of his sons. And there's only one left, this man Ahaziah, and he is the youngest. They left him alive, he was the youngest, and so they made him to be king. But note also that Ahab's son and Jehoshaphat's son had the same name. Now that tells you something too, doesn't it? Well, they were such good friends, you see. They had such good camaraderie between them that they named their sons the same name. That's not a good thing, because Ahab, again, was a a wicked idolater. He had distinguished himself from the other idolaters of the land in that he stopped worshiping the Lord in an illicit way, second commandment idolatry, and began worshiping false gods, first commandment idolatry. Right? And that's the distinction that I think the Bible makes over and again. Then we have the alliance continues even after Jehoram of Judah is dead because of the family tie through the wife of Jehoram, Ahaziah's mother. This is Athaliah, the Baal worshiper and power-hungry queen. And so that wickedness now has traveled by marriage down into the land of Judah, into the southern kingdom from the northern kingdom, Israel. And I hope you heard verse 3. Verse 3 is a very important verse. Notice, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Now, I don't want to just leave this to mothers. I want to bring mothers and fathers into this. As we think on these things, we must never become our children's counselor to do evil. Never. Our voice to our children and to our grandchildren, scripturally, is commanded to speak truth and uprightness to them over and over again. Right? And we see that in several of the Psalms. Let's just mention one, Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, what do we hear? We will not hide the great works of God from our children, from our children's children. We will teach them. We will make them known to them. We will tell them who they are in Christ. We will bring them to Christ. We will bring them to Him. We will bring them to church. They will hear the good word of God. They will hear it in our homes. They will hear it over and again. We must never become our children's counselors to do evil. We must teach them the ways of God instead. And my dear brothers and sisters, I hope you understand that in that case, there is no neutrality. We are either teaching them God's words and God's ways because of God's authority, or we're teaching them something else. Right? We must not become our children's counselors to do wickedly. And this would pertain to all of those who are under our authority, no matter what that relationship is. For instance, civil magistrates should never ensconce wickedness by law, that they would become counselors to those that are under them to do wickedly. Those who are employers should never draw their employees into sinning, lying for them, stealing for them, breaking the Sabbath for them in order to advance the profitability of the company or of the organization. That would be to become their counselors unto evil or wickedness. In everything. Right? Thy commandment is exceeding broad. It involves everything, and everything that we do, God's word has something to say to it. And so we must always be one another's counselors for good and not evil. Every day. All of the waste and violence that takes place in this household is a direct result of that. It's a direct result of the unholy alliance that Jehoshaphat originally made with the house of Ahab, and then generation after generation following that, especially when the king married the daughter of Omri, Athaliah, and took that idol worship into his house in her person, and she became a counselor to her son to do that which was wicked. All right, so then what do? They go up to Ramoth-Gilead. Anybody ever heard of Ramoth-Gilead before? Oh yeah, how about four chapters before? When Ahab and Jehoshaphat together go up to Ramoth-Gilead. There is an alliance between the northern and the southern kingdoms, once again, to go against Syria. And they meet Syria where? In Ramoth-Gilead. And what happens? The king, not of Israel, but the king of Judah is killed this time, right? The king of Judah dies, Ahaziah. And when his mother saw that he was dead, she seized upon that opportunity then to kill all of his children. Why? Well, she didn't like competition. Do you hear her voice in what we saw in the last chapter? When the king rose up and slew all of his brethren? Do you hear that voice? That's what we're seeing come to roost here. And so she rises up and she kills all of the seed royal. Or at least she thinks she does. But this little lady, Jehoshabeath, goes in to the chamber where all the children are dead. And she finds one little guy that hasn't been slain. And she finds him, what does it say? Among the dead. And she takes him up. And she protects him and carries him into an inner chamber in the sleeping area of the castle. And she keeps him alive. You know why that took place? Because God made a promise to David that his seed would never perish off of the throne of Israel. It doesn't matter if there's a Jezebel. It doesn't matter if there's an Ahab. It doesn't matter if there's a Satan. It doesn't matter if there's an Athaliah. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And they will never be overturned. When God promises to you, or when you hear Christ in John chapter 6 saying, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and he that comes to me I will in no wise cast out," you're hearing that same promise. It is the promise of Christ. The promise that God made to David that he will always have a seed upon the throne of Israel is fulfilled in Christ, who does take his place at God the Father's right hand, ruling and reigning over his church. And although Athaliah sought to destroy the seed royal that day, it could not take place because of the promise. Those same promises then come to all those who call upon the name of the Lord in truth. You'll never be thrust away. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Chronicles chapter 22.